Welcome to the February 12th edition of This Week in Virtualization, the weekly news podcast from SearchServerVirtualization.com. This Week in Virtualization, more businesses are mixing VMware and Microsoft, and Hyper-V gets its first security patch. I'm site editor Colin Steele. We talk a lot about VMware versus Microsoft and choosing one platform over the other. But as Hyper-V catches on, more organizations are actually going with a combination of both. In our recent virtualization decisions survey, more than half of respondents said they'd prefer to standardize on one platform, in theory. In practice, however, that's not always possible. Some businesses find themselves with mixed environments as they gradually migrate from one platform to another. Others choose a new platform to run a specific application or to go up in a specific department or branch office. And although mixed environments can offer more flexibility, they do present management challenges. On the phone now to talk about mixing VMware and Hyper-V is Greg Shields, a founding partner with Concentrated Technology and a member of our Server Virtualization Advisory Board. Thanks for joining us, Greg.
Thank you, Colin.
Greg, what are some of the biggest pros and cons of mixing virtualization platforms?
Well, I think you said it, that when you do go about mixing virtualization platforms, you are creating a heterogeneous environment. You are doubling or more the number of tools that you have in that environment. And any time you do that, you are going to have more, we'll call them interfaces, with which to manage those. Now, some of the pros, though, is that I think the partner ecosystem out there that relates to the central hypervisor vendors are realizing that some people are seeing some of the value in having this sort of hybrid hypervisor approach. And so what they are doing is creating tools that sort of uniformly work with different hypervisors and allow you to have sort of that environment of multiple different hypervisors, but with one single unified layer of management that layers over the top.
What's the best approach to managing these mixed environments?
Well, having that unified management tool is very important there, too. You know, when you do have those islands of different technologies, having to work with different tools is definitely going to make it more challenging. One of the benefits of some of these new approaches to thinking about hypervisors is, number one, it eliminates the whole us versus them, you know, the VMware versus Hyper-V silliness that's been going on forever. We can finally decide to choose which hypervisor makes sense, not just for our business, but also for the particular workload that we need. Some workloads need very high-end virtualization. Other workloads can use general-purpose virtualization, and we can choose what makes sense for us from a cost perspective. Now, managing those, if you're going to have those different islands of hypervisor functionality, you're going to want to have one solution that essentially allows you to manage both of those as a single unit and move machines around, virtual machines around, and work with virtual machines as a single unit.
And finally, Greg, do you think that this is a long-term trend, or will most businesses eventually settle on one platform?
You know, it's hard to say at this point. Right now, a lot of people are, just like you said, are in that sort of transitionary phase where they may have chosen one hypervisor and are moving to another and are finding themselves with a need to manage both different types of hypervisors for that short to medium term period of time. Now, the reality of a lot of IT organizations is they may get some percentage of the way through those transitions and they just get trapped in this sort of hybrid situation. So those people may end up being a little more long-term in this hybrid situation than they think. Other individuals or other organizations may see the value in creating two different islands of hypervisor capabilities so that they can tier out their different workloads, some with more expensive hypervisors, some with less expensive hypervisors, and really get the best value for their buck.
Greg Shields from Concentrated Technology, thank you for your time. We'll be right back.
Attention, IT managers. It doesn't matter if you're just getting into virtualization or if your entire business has been virtualized for years. SearchServerVirtualization.com has all the resources you need to get the most out of this rapidly growing technology. Our tips come from some of the most respected experts in the field, and our experienced news staff and bloggers will keep you up to date on the latest developments in the market. Get all of this and more at SearchServerVirtualization.com.
Welcome back. Microsoft this week issued its first security patch for Hyper-V. It was one of 13 bulletins the company released to fix 26 vulnerabilities. The Hyper-V update, MS10-010, addresses a flaw that lets users exploit Microsoft Direct Show. Users can log into a guest VM and take over a full Windows Server 2008 or Windows Server 2008 R2 system, according to searchsecurity.com. Hyper-V expert Rob Mikshinsky is on the phone now to discuss this patch. Rob is a senior systems engineer for Dartmouth Hitchcock Medical Center and a member of our advisory board as well. He blogs at virtuallyaware.com. Thanks for joining us, Rob.
Thanks for having me, Colin.
Rob, how serious is this flaw?
For the first one that's come up for Hyper-V, this is a fairly benign one. It does take some work to actually have to be a local admin on a VM to exploit the vulnerability within the hypervisor. It should be addressed, obviously, like any other important patch, but it's the first one out, not too bad.
What exactly do admins have to do to make sure this does get addressed and rolled out to the appropriate systems?
It's fairly easy to get it addressed. It's on Windows Update. You can get it from there. You can download it directly. With some of the technology that's come out, like live migration, it makes this the process much easier to move your guests off to other hosts. If not, finding some downtime for your Hyper-V host is what you'll need to do to apply the patch and then reboot, and you're all set to go.
And Hyper-V's been out for a while now, but this is the first patch. Can we expect more now that more people are testing and using Hyper-V?
I think you can. I think you hit on something there. It's an unfortunate as a patch, but it's predictable. Every other hypervisor that's been out there has had similar issues, and there's no reason to believe that there won't be more to come. It needs to be prepared for. You need to design your networks for patching it for any server virtualization platform, including Hyper-V. There will probably be worse vulnerabilities that come out, but I think this is a good sign. It's a sign that the community is out there digging into the code and finding these vulnerabilities.
Rob Mikshinsky from Dartmouth Hitchcock Medical Center, thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
That's all the time we have for now. I'm Colin Steele. Thanks for listening to This Week in Virtualization.